Good morning, my beautiful friend. Hello. Hello, hello, hello. And this is a very old song. This is Aerosmith, Dream On. And I know probably some of you listening to this probably are of my era, which I grew up, I was born in the mid-60s, so 60s and 70s. I know others of you, this may be music you know from having it's, you know, sometimes revived. I know my niece sometimes really loves music from the 80s. Anyhow, this is Aerosmith. I chose it for a specific reason. I'm going to wait for it to get to the chorus, unless it takes too long, which I might pause it and we'll get there later. Okay, I'm going to pause it because it's going on too long and I don't think you tune in so you can listen to Aerosmith. Although, who knows? Maybe. And this song is called Dream On, and maybe if I remember, I'll play this and the next little snippet. Maybe they'll get to... I always like when they sing the actual words that have to do with the Love Gram. So the reason that I'm recording and... choosing this song is because I have been having a lot of dreams. And I realized that I don't think I've ever talked to you about dreams. Although for many, many, many years, dreaming and paying attention to my dreams and asking for dreams has been a foundation of my life. It's been a part of my spiritual practice. I have a whole toolbox full of spiritual practices that help me, right? That kind of guide me in my life. And as many of you know, if you've been following around, this past number of months has been really challenging for me in the sense of a lot of grief and a lot of loss and a lot of things being unearthed that want to be explored, examined, healed. I know that all sounds a little bit woo-woo, and I suppose because I'm talking about dreams, that could also be considered woo-woo. But I want to offer you a different perspective on dreams. I have been having a lot of conversations with friends, and my feeling, and again, just try this on for a minute. Maybe you're someone who has dreams. Maybe you're someone who you're listening, you're thinking, I don't even remember. Oh, I should have said, I don't even think I said this. I'm talking about nighttime dreams, like literal when we are sleeping dreams, not visions for our life that we hold for ourselves, goals that we have. I should have said that in the beginning. I know some of you might be thinking, I don't ever dream, or I don't remember my dreams, or that's just like mind garbage being recycled. I know people have all sorts of different ideas of what dreams are, or even the role they play. And I'm just going to invite you for a moment to open up to the idea that even if you aren't someone who has dreams, or you don't remember your dreams, or you don't think they're very important, maybe just for a moment to try on something just for fun, right? Because once this Love Gram is over, you can just go back to, you know, whatever beliefs you hold, of course, right? It's always like that. I'm always sharing some of my own journey in the hopes that, A, while I'm talking to you, something might drop in. It, you know, might be something entirely different, might not even have to do with nighttime dreams, and something will drop in because of something I say. Because I think that's one of the things, it's the quote-unquote magic of showing up for ourselves. And when we create space to, meditate or to quiet our minds or to listen to something that might spark something in us, there's a beauty in that circle of space that's created. And I really think that's the important piece of it. Maybe not so much exactly what I'm saying to you, but energetically, the fact that you're giving yourself this time and that I'm giving myself this time to be with you. And I've said this to you many times. I'm so grateful to you, right? I'm so grateful to you because you being on the other end of this audiogram is what enables me to want to show up, because it's like we're in it together. I always say this. It's like, you know, talking about things that matter. And nighttime dreams might not, you know, feel like something that matters to you, but maybe if you can just kind of, as we're doing a practice in my Zen Sangha right now that has to do with a koan about emptying the teacup, that when, I know I'm kind of like straying way far away from dreams, but that's what happens. That's how this always goes. It's just is me showing up. It's like we're sitting across the table from one another and where the conversation goes. And in the moment, I just want to share a snippet about that. So there's a Zen koan that someone has shown up to receive guidance from a monk, and the monk is pouring tea into a teacup, and it's overflowing. You know, the tea is just overflowing, and the person says, "Hey, whoa, you know, it's overflowing." And the monk kindly and gently and compassionately points out, you know, that's how our minds are. Our minds are overflowing, and we don't have the space to receive guidance. And so that just dropped in for me, because I think what I'm asking of you in the moment, and not just right now with me, but anytime you're offering yourself the gift of receiving, to see if you can empty the teacup. You know, what does that mean to you, to quiet the mind, to open up to possibilities that there may be something here for you? So that was a long preface. However, it's all part of it, right? I love that. Let me play another snippet and then I'll go back to what I wanted to tell you about dreaming. Okay, so I have had for many, many, many years a practice of paying attention to my dreams. And sometimes it's a more focused practice than others, but particularly during this difficult time, it has been one of the ways that I have opened myself up to guidance. And this is what I want to say about dreaming. First of all, it is a practice. You've probably heard me say this about so many things, right? Meditation is a practice. Joy is a practice. Celebration is a practice. Friendship is a practice. Love is a practice. Dreaming is a practice. I really feel that anything in our lives that we value and we want to expand and lean into more, we need to practice. So dreaming is the same. So whenever I talk to people who say, "I don't have dreams," or "I don't remember my dreams," my first response is always, "Do you have the intention?" Because part of it is the intention to dream, to ask ourselves, our higher selves, or God, or the universe, or the great something, you know, "Hey, I would really love to have dreams." And I specifically will often ask for dreams before I go to sleep. "Please, I would love to have a dream that might show me some guidance around da-da-da." And so there's one thing, is that dreaming is a practice. And I do believe that we need to have an intention, and we can ask for dreams from whatever, you know, no matter what you believe in. Even if, even if you're asking your higher self or your dreaming self, "Hey, that part of me." And then the next piece that's really important about dreaming is we have to teach ourselves to record them as soon as we wake up. So I wake up frequently throughout the night with dreams, and I keep a recorder by my bedside, so it's really easy. If I have to turn on a light and try to write something, it will wake me up too much. So I've learned to just have a little digital recorder. I put it by the bed. I know by the feel of the recorder what the record button is, so I don't have to turn on a light, which for me is really important. I don't want to fully wake up. I just want to wake up enough to record. And there is something really important to me about recording, because I then transcribe the exact language, and that can be super important. The other thing that I want to say is that dreams often speak in metaphor. And this is the thing, this is why I want to encourage you just to entertain the idea of dreaming, because I know if you're hanging out with me, you're probably someone who has a love of relationships and stories and metaphor, probably literature, probably the mystery of life. Probably you have an interest in something more, right? Otherwise, I don't think you'd be here, right? Like, I think you'd be following some A, B, C, D, E, F sort of, you know, podcast right now. But we love to talk about all things love and relationships and, you know, connecting to ourselves, connecting to other people, connecting to what matters. And I think dreams speak in poetry. Dreams speak in metaphor. Dreams are like, they're like mystery. And that's part of, for me, the delight in them. You know, that it's like sometimes we can go about our everyday life and, you know, we're working, we're taking care of getting food on the table. If we have kids, we're taking care of our kids or our elderly parents. To me, dreams are a retreat into the mystery. And what I've been finding is that as I intend more, as I pay attention more, as I ask for more dreams, as I record them exactly as I remember them when I wake up, even if, and this is really important, a lot of times, probably 90% of the time when I first wake up with a dream, the first thought in my mind is, I don't need to record that, that's just garbage, right? Like 90% of the time. However, I've trained myself to pick up the recorder and record it, because I don't know why the mind does that, but it's not true. It's never true. Every time I transcribe a dream and then I sit with it for a little while, there's something really there for me. So I'm talking to you about all of this because this morning something really amazing happened, which is that I also transcribed, I listened to recordings from my Zen Sangha. My teacher, Sherry Huber, records a lot of the group conversations when people are asking for guidance. And I listened to those throughout the night as a way to calm my system, as a way to, you know, feed my subconscious these really compassionate, loving voices. And I started, like this morning, I woke up into, there was a particular line in that was being said. And I paused and made a recording as if that was a dream, even though I knew it was from the recording. And now that I've been talking to you for 13 minutes, I don't remember exactly what the line, but it was something like this. So somebody was talking about having adopted a little puppy who had parvo, but they didn't know the puppy had parvo at the time. And when they found out, I think it was a couple weeks after they got the puppy, that the puppy had parvo, the vet said, the question is right here for you, you know, can you love this puppy fully without knowing the outcome? Can you, something about that, something to that effect, can you love this puppy fully right now without knowing the outcome? And wow, I recorded that and I did something that is kind of new for me, which is I included that in my dreams. So I had a few other dreams, I recorded them and then I recorded that line. And when I spent some time this morning, just kind of, and this is a whole practice in itself, I'm not gonna get into that because we're almost at the end of the Lovegram. But what I wanna say to you is that when I spend some time with my dreams and just really sat with them and asked for, you know, interpretation and guidance, that last line was very much connected to my dreams. And I don't know, you know, I like to think, who knows, but that there is some poetic, there's some poetic force in the world that woke me up at that time. It wasn't, the alarm hadn't got off. It was actually way earlier. You know, I woke up into that dream at like 5:05 and I mean, I woke up to that line at like 5:05. I wasn't planning to get up till 6, but I ended up just like, you know, recording that line and then getting up because I was so, I don't know, there was something really energizing about this new practice. And why am I telling you all this? Because I think, as my teacher, Sherry Huber, often says, it's hard to be human. Of course, it's beautiful and wonderful and exhilarating and delightful too, but it's also hard. We go through loss. We go through grief. We go through illness. We go through difficulty, confusion, anger, upset, unsettling. And how do we take care of ourselves, right? How do we, throughout, you know, the good times and the hard times, how do we ask for guidance? How do we get support? Where do we turn to? And I feel, and this is the main thing I want to say to you, I feel like it's our own love for ourselves that invites us to fill our pockets with as many supports as we can. You know, right now, my friends all know this. A lot of my friends have been saying like, oh my gosh, you know, you have like this whole like, you know, team of support and all these tools in your pocket. And it's true. Like, I really believe that I must love myself so much that I will use, you know, oh, this is funny. I'm just quoting from something from my Zen Center. I'll use everything in my experience to see how I cause myself to suffer so I can drop that, is one of the lines. And this, that line isn't saying like we're like causing ourselves to suffer. It's really saying, you know, I think the opposite, which is like, how do I love myself enough to stop the suffering? How do I love myself enough to offer unconditional love? And dreams to me have played a huge role. Huge, because one of the things that they do is that I wake up into this sense of poetry, this sense of something bigger than me is helping me. You know, I don't even have a name for that. You guys know this. I love great something. Whoever invented that, I'm sorry. I don't know where I first heard that in my many years of reading, you know, nonfiction. But I love the idea that the great something is supporting me by giving me these dreams that are also, you know, I love writing. I love creativity. I love poetry. So I start my day, first thing I do is I transcribe the dreams, and it places me in unconditional love for myself, in connection to something bigger, in language and creativity and poetry. And so I'm just saying, you know, whether you've been someone who thinks you have dreams or you think you don't, I just invite you to play around with it and see if this appeals to you. And if this doesn't appeal to you, I invite yourself to say, was there something Sherry said that I really want to incorporate? Maybe it's simply the idea of asking yourself, how do I love myself unconditionally, especially when things are hard? How do I take care of myself as if I'm my own little puppy who has parvo, right? How do I love not knowing the outcome? Maybe there's something in one of those things. Hey, listen, I love you. I'm so glad you're here. Let's end with a little dream on from Aerosmith. And thanks for being here. Thanks for inspiring me. When I'm talking to you, I hear it myself, and you really help me to anchor in the things that are sort of floating around in my consciousness. It helps me ground. Thank you. Love you.